Welcome to Secular Yakking.
It's like blogging out loud, a show where we cover current events, politics, and anything secular to yak about.
Want to join the conversation? Lines are open. 704-802-YAK. That's 704-802-YAKK. Welcome back, Yakkers. On tonight's show, winning, Duggar Dodgery, and the Pledge.
But before we begin, we would like to take a moment and remember those men and women who have lost their lives while on active duty. We also offer our most sincere condolences to all the families that have been left behind. Your sacrifice has not gone unnoticed.
And in news, Ireland approves same-sex marriage. Ireland became the first country to approve same-sex marriage on a national level by popular vote. This wasn't done by the legislature or a judge. The people of Ireland voted in favor of same-sex marriage with 62%. There was a 60% turnout, and only one district did not approve. There only got 43%, which is still a pretty good margin.
Just the percentage alone is great.
Right, that's amazing. I wish we could get that kind of turnout here in America.
That would be awesome.
Right. Homosexuality was decriminalized there only 22 years ago. So that's one hell of a jump.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That is an amazing feat in that short time frame, and to get a 60% turnout like that and to make it completely countrywide legal.
Right. I mean, that's just amazing, especially a heavily Catholic country like Ireland.
Even more so. Absolutely.
I mean, that is so cool. And seemingly in response, the sky above Dublin presented a double rainbow. Almost like a pride parade in the sky.
I love it. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's almost like God approving if there was such a thing.
Yeah, right.
But that's great news from Ireland. I'm so glad. Now, if we could just get America to catch up, and maybe we should, if we could get popular votes throughout America instead of having judges legislate from the bench about it,
right?
We'd have more acceptance of gay marriage. It'd be great.
And, you know, and you can't, you know, stay behind that whole super, a country that's very religious card because they just did it.
Exactly.
It's proof.
Right. So moving on, we did have a win this week in Del Norte County, California. In episode one, we introduced you to Roger Gitlin, our Mr. Potter Award winner for that week. It appears that was not the end of the story. Council Chair Finnegan saw a report of our email from the original Motto Project, that is, exchanged with the Del Norte Daily Triplicate, and decided that Mr. Gitlin does not speak for the council, and brought the resolution that I introduced via that project on the May 12th agenda. And we do have some audio from that with Chair Finnegan speaking about it.
But in 1776, our founding fathers of the Constitutional Convention agreed that e pluribus unum would be the motto on the seal out of many one. And it struck me that that was the foundation for some of the patriotic mottos, not in competition with any other one, but that it really said something as far as the original 13 states, the colonies, relation with the federal government. Now it's with the states, relationship with the federal government. It is the counties in relationship with the state. It is our districts in relationship to our county. It is here in a community that has sovereign nations, Portuguese, Irish, Italian, Anglo, Hispanic. I mean, you can go right down the Hmong, and we really are a community of one out of many.
And that's absolutely right, Chair Finnegan. One out of many.
Yes.
So I was very proud of this chair to bring this back up in the way that he did. Just some history on that. After doing some reading on both of these gentlemen, they have some history together.
Oh, really?
And not so nice history. Apparently, Finnegan was unhappy with Gitlin for bringing up the In God We Trust motto in the way that he did, kind of sneakily.
As usual.
Right. And then during the meeting, the board voted on it 4-1 to approve the phrase. One guessed as to who the one was.
Right.
Yeah, Roger Gitlin.
Yes.
He even spoke about us during the his part of the debate, in which he said that our exchange was posted on the original motto website. And he didn't sound too happy about that.
Of course.
Yeah. So I have been in contact with the Daily Triplicate, and I did get an interview earlier this week with them. I expect a nice article later on.
Yeah, be interested to actually hear that.
Yeah. So thank you again, Del Norte County, California, for being the first county to actually approve our resolution for E. Pluribus Unum.
Baby steps.
Baby steps, that's
yes.
right.
Yes.
And then we move on to trouble in the Duggars.
Play on words.
So the eldest son of the Duggar children, Josh, has admitted to molesting as many as 5 younger girls while he was 14 years old, some of which were his own sisters. Jim Bob, the patriarch of the Duggar household, did not contact the authorities about this until a year after Josh had confessed to him, which was still a couple years later. And then only after an Oprah show producer had alerted the authorities and canceled their appearance on the show.
That's just, it's unbelievable, really.
I know. So these ultra-Christians who profess all this wonderful stuff.
Exactly.
Right? They haven't taught their children what is proper sexual conduct.
Right. They think, don't talk about it, it doesn't exist.
Right.
But at the same time, she's got 19 kids, but, you know, that's something different.
Well, also, the kids didn't even know the proper terminology.
Right.
They use things like PP and...
Right, and as older teenagers
right.
as well.
Right, that's all they knew.
Not just little kids using these terminologies.
Right, so these are like 15, 16-year-old kids using the wrong terminology.
Right, let alone how to conduct themselves when they're in, you know, those early teens when their hormones are just going crazy. They're not taught, you know, the right etiquette on, you know, how you handle it and things that, you know, are proper and improper.
Right, I mean, it's just... And this isn't the only scandal this church system has had. We may talk about that some other time.
Yeah, another story.
But this continues on a little bit more. They did, however, consult their church elders, and they said he should be put into a treatment center, which, according to his mother, Michelle, was really just a job doing manual labor remodeling a building. That doesn't sound much like therapy.
Not only does it not sound like therapy, but they're not addressing the issue.
Right.
They're not... taking care of and educating and let alone giving a proper punishment.
Exactly.
But I mean, and the fact that the elders knew about this and nothing was said.
Especially since Arkansas has a mandatory reporting law that includes clergy.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, why was no authorities notified
right.
at the time that they were informed of this?
So is this just another example of a religion protecting itself?
Well, I have to say for myself, that's kind of what it sounds like to me, sweeping
else,
it under the rug.
Where else do we see clergy protecting themselves and their flock?
Oh, so many places.
Right, so many of them.
Yes.
Now, here's the interesting thing is that Josh Duggar was the director, I think he was, of the Family Research Council, which is a super anti-gay organization.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were absolutely against the trans bathroom bill that came out
right.
last year in Arkansas. Yeah. So I see the amount of... They're saying that the homosexuals are horrible people, but they're harboring a relative that's a child molester.
Right. I mean, yes, he was a teenager, but at the same time, that does not condone anything. And the fact that they did nothing about it makes it way worse.
Right. I mean, you got a 14-year-old boy doing... basically, it was touchy-feely with his little sisters. And
right.
I don't know their ages because they didn't say which ones they were.
Right.
So
I honestly, for myself, I don't think I need to know their ages because no matter what age they were,
right.
it's wrong.
Right,
so,
exactly.
But the fact that they kept it a secret, I think, bugs me the most.
Right. And it's not like the mandatory reporting was new, right? It had been in place since the 60s throughout the United States.
Right.
It's
well,
been...
I guess I have to go back to the whole moral ethics issue of it. Just as an authoritative figure, you should know you need to talk to the authorities about
right.
the information you just received.
Right. And then once the information did finally get to authorities, it was swept under the rug anyway.
Well, and that's the other point. Once the adults, the clergy, whatever knew, it needed not only to go to the authorities, but it needed to be stopped immediately.
Right. Well, and he did stop, according to the family. So he didn't do it anymore.
Okay.
But the thing still happens. There have been worse things that people have been accused of, and now they are labeled sex offenders for the rest of their lives.
Correct.
And I think that's probably what should have happened here.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a matter of, at the time of the information known, gone to the authorities and let the procedure happen.
Right.
Which it was not. It was just kind of swept under the rug, quiet, go build a house, you know?
And then apparently on Friday, a judge ordered the report destroyed, supposedly to protect the victims.
I'm flabbergasted at that.
And here's the other thing. No one is talking about the victims in this case. No one's talking about what happened to the girls, right? There was no therapy for the girls. There was no talk about how they addressed the girls on what happened.
Right, which therapy is needed.
Right. And if you look at the homeschool curriculum they use, it teaches victim shaming as part of it. So there's a question on there that says, why did God allow this to happen? And there's things like, did you dress inappropriately? You know, were you being provocative?
Right. Once again, the girl is the problem.
Right. The girl's the problem, not the guy.
Right.
So that's typical for this brand of Christianity.
Right. Which I have to say it's kind of off subject, but at the same time, you're starting to see it in our public schools a little more as far as, you know, don't wear dresses that, you know, show a shoulder or what have you. But that's like a whole nother story.
Or you're not allowed to wear your kilt to your prom.
That's exactly
correct.
That's
always a great thing.
Yeah. But that's a whole nother story for another time.
Another story, yes. Right? In other news, New Hampshire middle school teacher kicked student out of classroom for refusing to stand during pledge. 14-year-old Fatima Smart elected to exercise her right by sitting out the pledge at Monadnock. Wow, that's a tough one. Regional middle school in Swansea, New Hampshire. Do they have regular words in New Hampshire?
I'm not so sure now.
Okay. She was then punished by the teacher by being told she had to leave the room. She sat in the hall for 10 minutes and then was called back into the room by her teacher. Her teacher then said that anyone who did not want to participate in the pledge could sit outside until it was over.
Unbelievable.
Fatima then walked out of the school and was returned by local police. She has since been moved from that class.
Okay, there are so many things that went wrong with that. I mean, the fact that she was shamed, sent out of the class, and now she's technically kicked out of that class and sent to a different class.
Right. So this was a cooking class, if I remember right.
I was going to ask.
I'm pretty sure it was a cooking class. I should have written that down, but I didn't.
Yeah.
But still, the point remains, it doesn't matter what class it is.
Right, absolutely.
She was singled out.
She was humiliated. In front of all her classmates by an adult,
right,
and an authoritative adult, a teacher.
Right.
Excuse me. But, I mean, and the fact that as this adult and an educating adult should know how the whole free speech system works. I mean, it doesn't take, you know, a rocket scientist to figure out that child had every right to be able to do what she did.
Right. I mean, does this come down to training for the teachers? Is that what it should be?
Maybe refreshing. I mean, right now we are teaching our teachers how to defend themselves when there's a school attack, you know, gunfight, you know, gun whatever and everything. Maybe they also need to refresh, you know, students' rights as well.
Right. I agree. I mean, this isn't the only incident in the past couple of years.
Exactly.
So maybe we need to have some, at least a few hours of classroom training with teachers to teach them what are First Amendment rights, because sometimes they go too far as well.
Well, and I was going to say, and also it also pertains just because the teacher for their personal, you know, beliefs or what they stand for doesn't coincide with what the law is that they agree with it. They still have to follow that law regardless if they agree with it or not.
Right.
And I think that's where they need the refresher.
So, like some of the other incidents that's happened around the country in the past couple of years, in Belfast, Maine, a student was reprimanded by the administration and told he had to stand for the pledge. In Carlisle, Pennsylvania, a school nurse refused to care for a student that didn't stand for the pledge.
Is that even legal?
I don't think so.
I don't think that's legal.
No.
I mean, for a nurse who is hired for taking care physically of the children to deny care because a child didn't stand for the pledge.
Right. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's just absolutely unbelievable. And in my opinion, that nurse should either be fired or reprimanded.
She
in
was
some
reprimanded.
Way. Okay. That's
so this
good.
Happened, I think, either March or February. I don't know the exact date.
Yeah. Because that's technically it's unsafe.
Right.
I mean,
and it's not good for the kids to be around that.
Well, and not only that, there could have been a serious incident, say, with that child, and the nurse is saying no.
Right. And then also in Ventura County, another high school student felt that he was being forced to stand for the pledge. They didn't say you have to say the pledge, but you have to at least stand for the pledge.
Which legally you do not.
Legally you do not.
Yes.
Now, I know you guys have opinions on this, so how about calling in at 704-802-9255, and let's talk about that. But according to the American Humanist Association, the under God compromises the patriotic message of the pledge, which is why many of these kids sit out.
Yes.
Because a lot of that generation is non-religious, and a lot of them think that in under God should not be in there. I mean, it was put in 56, 54. 54, I think, on that one. I should know that.
I think I would. You normally do. I do think that, you know, like I've heard another student tell me that it's just so robotic saying the pledge that they don't even think about saying it. They're just, you know, regurgitating it is what they're doing.
Right. I mean, is it really patriotism to say a pledge that you don't know what it means?
And that's the other thing. Some of them are so young, they don't even know what it means.
Right.
And I think forced patriotism is not true patriotism. I mean, if you have someone that does something out of volunteer, they're wholeheartedly doing it. But to force someone, they're not doing it wholeheartedly.
So we do have a caller on the line. Hi, caller. Go ahead.
Hi. So this is Marshall.
Hi, Marshall.
I'm calling. A lot of this is I tried to call in last week, but there were some problems. But it really ties into the Pledge of Allegiance and the phrase, which, in my opinion, frankly, does not belong in the Pledge of Allegiance. It's frankly a violation. The original Pledge of Allegiance was perfectly fine, but when they added that phrase under God, they effectively, in my opinion, violated our First Amendment.
Right. I completely agree.
I agree completely.
Well, the last time, well, I'm going to say I spent 13 years in the Army. And this might blow your mind, but how many times do you think I said the Pledge of Allegiance the entire 13 years that I was in the Army?
I think once.
Oh, really?
That's going to be my guess.
Not once.
Not once.
Really?
Not once in my entire military career did we ever say the Pledge of Allegiance. We would sing the Star-Spangled Banner.
Right.
And we sang other songs, and we said other oaths, which usually had an option. There would usually be an optional oath that would remove the part any reference to God, and I would choose to use that. But the last time that I can remember actually saying the Pledge of Allegiance was when I was in elementary school myself.
Right.
And I remember back then, and I'm getting along in my years. I'm not old yet, but I'm getting there. When I was in elementary school, it was in the early 80s, later 80s too. I do specifically remember that there were kids that did not stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And I don't remember any big deal ever being made out of it. And I come from a small hick town, you know, very conservative people, a lot of loggers, a lot of rednecks. And you know, I don't remember anybody ever making a big deal. They just didn't stand. And it was respected. That's what I remember. So if it was being done in the 80s, how come it can't be done now?
Right. Well, I think we lived in a different time in the 80s. So the 70s, the 60s and 70s were very open, and it was only after the political reformation of the conservatives and the infiltration of the religious right that made a difference then.
Yeah, I agree. I think the problems now have mostly come from the religious right. Now, this is what I want to get on. We're both in agreement that that's a violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment.
Agreed.
And I wanted to actually, and this is what I was going to talk about last week and ask about, is the point is that the Bill of Rights, if I remember right, those are the first 10 amendments.
That is correct.
Do I have the correct number?
Yep.
Well, they are amendments to the Constitution, and there has been I think the last amendment was in the 1995 or something, having to do with raises for Congress.
Right, the 26th Amendment. I think that's the right number.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, on all of these amendments, there has been one amendment, the Prohibition Amendment, that was abolished.
Right.
And then there's been several amendments that have been changed. So something that has me a little bit worried, as much as the far right and extremists, the religious right, are really pushing, you know, and there seems to be a heck of a lot of of politicians, Republicans especially, really pushing to change this country into a Christian nation and trying to rewrite history and change the Constitution and change our history books to say that we were established as a Christian nation, when you and I both agree that we were established as a secular nation.
Correct.
So my question is, and what has me worried, is what is the possibility of those politicians of changing our First Amendment and taking that Establishment Clause out, and therefore giving themselves the right to turn it into a Christian nation and make Christianity take over? Are we at risk of losing the Establishment Clause or any other of the Bill of Rights, or especially the First Amendment?
Right.
We have certain restrictions on our freedom of speech already. There's lots of restrictions out there. Do we have the risk of losing that Establishment Clause and actually becoming a theocracy?
Well, I can certainly see your point, and you make real sense about that. But I have to say, there are some stops to that and some really good ones. So first, in order to even consider a constitutional amendment, you need 2/3 of Congress to approve that. And in recent years, we haven't had 2/3 of Congress do anything.
Yeah, right.
Right. And then not only that, you have to have 75% of the states to ratify it.
Right.
So there are still amendments on the books for 150 years that haven't been ratified. So I don't think that we have a huge problem with that. It's something to keep in mind.
And to keep an eye on.
Right. As secular people and as activist groups, we need to make sure that no one's introducing these things, right? And when they do, get called out immediately. So you make an excellent point, and I think that's a really good idea that we watch out for that. Because I can certainly see some theocratic politician getting in there and making these changes.
Right. They're slowly slipping them in, hoping they get unnoticed so that they get in.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, that's a great point, Marshall.
And one other thing is, it does seem to me, and I'm wondering if you guys are seeing this as well, it does seem like the right is trying to become more and more extreme and almost praising themselves over their ignorance. Does it seem like there is almost a competition between the far-right Republicans to see who can become the most extreme and to see who can become the most ignorant about the Constitution and about science, and like they want to do everything they can to make themselves seem as ignorant as possible? Or do you think that they're just really like that?
Well, like any live setting on the internet, network issues caused the upstream recording to not receive the rest of the episode. But here is a summary of what you missed. We also apologize to Marshall, unfortunately, again, for technical difficulties. This one, however, was out of our control. So the question centered around whether the religious right actually believe their insanity, or is it just for votes?
Right, and I was just about to give my answer, which was, excuse me, the fact that I think it's both. I think it is, yes, I do think they believe some of the insanity that they spew out. But at the same time, I have to say, I think they do it for show. I think it gets their attention. I think it gets their votes. And the scary part is the fact that people do vote for these people.
Right. And that was kind of my point, is that there are people who actually get voted in based on these policies. Gordon Klingenschmidt from Colorado.
Right.
I mean, he's the most crazy politician I've ever seen, and he got elected to state senator.
Right. And the fact that people actually are voting for these people, I think, is the craziest thing of all.
Right. And I don't think at this point that it really matters whether they believe this or not.
Right.
There are people voting for them that do believe this.
Right. Because the end result is whether someone votes for them or not, regardless if they believe what they're spewing or not.
Right. I mean, look at this year's Republican presidential candidates. I mean, they're just going to give us so much show. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have to expand the show, I think, just to cover the politics that come up starting in 2016.
Right. And, you know, the late night entertainment is going to be so awesome and so busy.
Yeah. Comedy Central is going to be great. I wish Jon Stewart And Stephen Colbert had stayed on for at least this election cycle. That would have been so awesome.
Well, SNL will probably have a lot of fun with it.
Oh, yeah. I think they might even bring people back on to, just to cover Sarah Palin.
Well, she could have a whole thing on her own. But even, you know, with all the active groups out there, the secular active groups, there's going to be so much material to go over and discuss.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be funny. I think we're going to be able to cover a lot of that stuff on the show, and we're going to have a good time with it, I think.
I agree completely.
So, and then finishing up on the pledge, the AHA does have a website that helps explain everything about the pledge and the legality of it, and it's don'tsaythepledge.com.
Right.
So you can print up a pledge card, which you can give to the kids that they can give to the teachers. Say, hey, I don't have to say the pledge. It says so right here in the statute.
Right. And everybody needs to know that is being very patriotic to sit down for the pledge. You are being active in the rights that the men and women fought and died for. You are not just methodically spewing out the pledge. You are not the Borg. You are standing up for the rights that this country stands on.
Right. I mean, much like Hugh Mann in the Borg.
Right.
I am Hugh. He learned that he wasn't just an automaton. He learned that he had a personality, a very shallow personality, but he had a personality. It was really great. But you're absolutely right. The students and everybody has the right to sit out the pledge.
Right. So. And you are being patriotic by choosing your right to not regurgitate the pledge.
Right. Especially if you don't know what it means.
So. Right.
So, and I think we're going to end on that note, because that's a pretty good note to end on right there.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
That's right, Yackers. It's time for your favorite part of the show, the Mr. Potter Award. Normally, I would prefer to give this award to someone who exerts their kind of control on the local level. But this week, I had to go national. This week's winner is so smug and pompous that he spends his time reminiscing about the defeat of a homeless atheist in court over the Ten Commandments. You guessed it, Yackers. That's presidential hopeful Ted Cruz. What he is gloating about to the room full of Christians at the Family Research Watchmen on the Wall event. Wait, that's not right. You guessed it, Yackers. This is presidential hopeful Ted Cruz.
Stop. You said this.
Yeah. You guessed it, Yackers. That is presidential hopeful Ted Cruz. What he is gloating about to this room full of Christians at the Family Research Council Watchmen on the Wall event is defending the Ten Commandments against a homeless atheist.
Unreal.
He started out by talking about religious liberty, but he seems to think only Christians deserve religious liberty.
It's typical.
Yeah, I know. That's what they do. My religion is the only one that deserves respect.
And they do it time and time again.
Right, we see it all the time. RFRA's built on that.
Right.
But this is not why he is the Mr. Potter Award winner this week. You see, in order to win this award, you have to go above and beyond normal smug assholery. He won this week because he had to point out that the man was not only an atheist, but a homeless one.
Homeless.
Homeless. Yes, Mr. Cruz, you have the guts and ability to out-lawyer a homeless man and then fondly recall that experience as if you were sitting on your front porch sipping lemonade.
Wow.
And that is why he is this week's Mr. Potter Awardee.
And he is so worthy.
Yeah, we are not worthy, though.
So we are always on the lookout for our next awardee, so don't forget to visit our Facebook page and post your nominees for Mr. Potter Awards.
That's all the yakking we have for you tonight. Join us again next week as we resume the assault against your eardrums. If you can't seem to get enough of us, check out our Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. If you like what you hear, drop by our Patreon page and help support the show. Then head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and leave us that coveted 5-star review. And remember, the government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. So I'd like to apologize to our listeners one last time tonight for our technical difficulties. It seemed that we had some internet issues here at the house. Not much I can do about that, but we can fix it in post, apparently, for most part. We're going to work on that, and I am actually going to see what we can do about making this better. Appreciate you listening, and visit our Patreon page to support us. Thanks.